BlogTalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
My partner Jim Hartman is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner Randall Simonetti is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
Now, each week, we'll be answering questions from our loyal listeners.
And sometimes not so loyal.
So please, email your questions to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And we'll be happy to answer those questions on the very next show. Now, if you want to just learn a little more about Lawyers Who Needs Them and Jim and I, you can do that by visiting the official website at lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So if you have a question, it's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And if you just want to take a look and see how scary we look and why we have faces made for radio, you can go to lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So there you have it. So without any further ado, James, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. For this ring, I thee sue. Gentlemen, think twice before asking for your wedding ring back. What's that all about, Jim?
We have this situation where the future bride, called off the wedding.
She called it off. Okay.
And, of course, that's important in this context. Now, he, the groom, sued to get his ring back because she refused to give it to him. She said it was a gift. Now, and she's claimed it was her birthday when he gave it to her.
Oh, so it was a gift.
Well, just a minute.
All
That's
right.
a question, a fact. That's what we call a question of fact when you go to court. But in the meantime, this is not an unusual situation.
No, it's not.
Who owns the ring? You know, they keep asking who owns the ring after the ring is given, and it is. It's important to know the circumstances. In this particular case, it was a rather expensive ring. It was $17,500, and he said that it was an engagement. She said it was a birthday. If it was an engagement ring, which it looks to me like it was, mm-hmm. he may have given it to her on her birthday.
Right, to make it special.
You know, that $17,500 birthday present for a young couple is pretty big, if you know.
That's right.
And you see, it's a contract. If I give you the ring, it's in consideration for you marrying me.
Right.
I offer you the ring, and when you accept the ring, that's offer and acceptance. You accept the obligation to marry me. And if you're going to marry me, it's an obligation. Let me tell you something.
That's absolutely right.
And it was apparently to this lady because she said, enough's enough. I don't want you anymore. She says, I want the ring, but you get out of here.
That's right.
He says, I want the ring back.
Right.
I gave you the ring in consideration that you were going to marry me.
Exactly.
And she says, I'm not going to marry you, but you gave it to me for my birthday. He said, I gave it to you on your birthday, not for your birthday. There's a difference. And, of course, language is very important when it comes to the law and different legal relationships.
So
anyway.
What happened?
She sued. He sued.
He sued.
And they broke off the engagement. She sued, and the ring was determined to be, I think, rightfully his. Uh-huh. As a matter of etiquette, let me say this. No matter who breaks it off, you're supposed to give the ring back. That's a matter of etiquette, and etiquette is not law. You see it in the movies where she says, here, take your ring back. I don't want you anymore. Take the ring. And he says, I don't want the ring. I want you. And that's how you get a whole movie out of that.
So,
in fact, Wagner wrote the whole series of three operas. That was the ring
that's
series,
right.
you
Based
know?
Based on the ring.
Right. The Grotodanadam and Siegfried, Sigmund, and the Valkyrie. But the main basis was the ring.
That's right.
All those big sopranos with the blonde braids was really singing in German, take back the ring. I don't want the ring. And the hero would say, I want to marry you. Ich liebe dich. I love you.
Oh,
and
that's
anyway,
in German?
That's in German.
Well, I hope our friends in Fargo understand what you're talking about.
I know. They will. They will.
So he got the ring back.
So he got the ring back. The contract law, as I say, takes the view that the exchange of a ring is for the promise to wed. And it constitutes a binding contract. And if she broke the contract, she has to give him back the ring.
Okay.
And that's the situation, and that would be the situation in most states. Now, if he broke the contract, she can keep the
ring. She can keep the ring. Well,
that's
see,
right. So it's important about who
what's very important is that you pick the right person.
Well, you have to.
That's the important thing. When you're making an investment of $17,000, which sounds like, in my diamond experience, a full carat and a very high quality ring.
Right.
Make sure this is the woman that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Well, apparently she didn't want to spend it with him.
That's right. In this case, he got it back.
That's right.
So there you are, fellas and gals. Make sure you know what side of the ring you're on.
For this ring, I thee sue.
And there you have it. Well, here's an interesting one. I found this to be very interesting, that a study has just come out that says female lawyers with masculine names have a greater chance of becoming judges.
Well, that was an article that appeared in the American Bar Association Journal. I think it was on, they have two journals, the one that is in print that you get in the mail, and that is if you remember, and the other one comes on the Internet. And it's every Friday they have the weekly journal. In any event, there was this article about women lawyers with more masculine names have a better chance of becoming a judge. And a very interesting article because you know, if your name is like Suzanne, very little chance because that's not a man's name.
That's a feminine name.
If your name is like what you would call
ambiguous?
Ambidextrous, ambiguous. Like Leslie.
Or Kelly.
Or Kelly.
Could be either way.
Either way. Oh, yeah, no. And those names would give you a better chance. I think a 5%, a 20% better chance.
Okay.
It's been measured out.
Right.
And if you have a real masculine name like John or Hercules or something.
Or Irving.
Irving is the best. That's a name that'll really get you something.
It'll go right to the top.
Right to the top. If your name is Irving, you don't even have. If you're going to go to the Supreme Court, if your name is Irving, you only have to be vetted by the Senate. You go in there and you say, "I'm a woman, but my name is Irving." Senator Leahy will say, "You're already there. Don't worry. No more questions." And it's one of those things that it sounds very funny, but it's not. It's apparently something that is in the minds of people, that if you have this kind of a name, you're going to become. Now, we're going to discuss Elena Kagan anyway.
Right.
And we can pick up that discussion now because she's.
And the previous judge that was assigned was also a woman.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Right.
And Sonia Sotomayor. And, you know, Sonia is really a feminine name, and she had to be vetted. But if her name was Juan? Because she's Hispanic descent.
Right.
If her name was Juan or Pedro Sotomayor.
Did you say Juan or Juan?
Juan. That's how you pronounce
it. Juan.
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 Juan. If her name was Juan, she would have been not even vetted. They wouldn't even ask her a question. They would have said Pedro or Juan.
Put her on the bench.
Go on up. You're all right. You're okay. You're doing a great thing.
Now, we're making fun of this, of course. This is a little extreme. We're not suggesting now that all of the female lawyers in this country go out and change their name to Bruce.
No, to Irving. Oh, Bruce. Well, Bruce is okay because
you're not really
sure. Bruce is a little...
It's like my name.
That's right. Randall.
Yeah.
Or random. Yeah.
You're never sure.
But Bruce could be either. I mean, not... Really, but there's a lot of Brucies around, you know?
All right.
Not
well,
that there's anything wrong
with that.
As Seinfeld would say.
That's correct.
So.
All right, so ladies, if you want a chance to get to the top.
Change your name to Irving.
Okay.
Or Isidore.
Isidore's not a bad name.
It's a bad name, but at least it's a man. Who wants to be an Isidore times like these?
If your name was Isidore in my neighborhood, you would have gotten beaten up once a week.
Absolutely.
For no other question, just because of the name.
Right.
Well, listen, we're talking about Supreme Court. The question this week is the Supreme Court packed with too many Ivy Leaguers? Now, nominee Elena Kagan was the former dean of the Harvard Law School.
That's right.
And another question I have for you to ponder. When you're pondering, is not only do we have too many Ivy Leaguers, but this young lady has never been a judge.
Well, I think, and so does Judge Scalia think, and so do a lot of judges and other people think, that having to be a judge, having had
been a
have
judge.
To have been a judge, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, that's easy you for know. You to say.
That's right. Judge. But it should not be a requisite, and in fact, many, many members of the Supreme Court have not been judges. And by the way, folks, it'd be interesting to know that you don't even have to be a lawyer to be a justice of the United States Supreme Court. In any event, there is, when we talk about diversity, it seems we concentrate only on racial or ethnic diversity. But what about geographical diversity? Everybody on that court seems to come from the Northeast.
It does.
They're
have
all
quite
from,
a few.
From Harvard. What's wrong with Stanford? What's wrong with the University of Michigan? What's wrong with Chicago Law School?
What's wrong with your alma mater, Columbia University?
Well, that's an Ivy League school, right. It's a third-rate Ivy League school. But anyway, it's not Yale and it's not Harvard. You have to go to Yale or Harvard.
Okay.
And so, by the way, I wanted to tell you, tying it in with our previous discussion, the name Elena in Samoan is Sam. So she's got a great chance. They won't have to vet it too much.
But we actually have a recording of her speaking because she's able now to disguise her voice and make it more masculine. Here's what she sounds like.
You're a funny guy, Sally. I like you. That's why I'm going to kill you last.
She sounds a little like Schwarzenegger.
<That's right.
laughs> I don't get it.
So that's it's interesting, and I think we could use more diversity in background, that is vocation background, as well as geographical diversity on our Supreme Court.
So the answer to the first question is, you think there may be too many Ivy Leaguers. And the second question, it's okay if she was not a judge.
Absolutely.
And there you have it.
And it's not that there may be. There are too many. I didn't say maybe. I'm not equivocal.
Okay. That's right. You're never equivocal. Your feet are always planted squarely.
In midair.
In midair. That's what I thought. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a look at a case of a mistaken movie title and what happened. But right now, we're going to go to a break. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We'll be right back.